Are we ready, Kyle? Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum-bum-bum. The sun came up this morning at 7:38. Just want you to know that.
Amen.
One of those things. You know what? I had somebody go, what? There was an event yesterday. I will not go into it, but it didn't go well. It didn't go well at all, but the sun still came up this morning, didn't it?
Amen.
And in the scope of things, it doesn't matter. It is one game. And I noticed, I got to tell you this, the Contreras kids came in today. When I first saw Wally, I don't know if he did this on purpose, but he kind of ducked his head. And the Contreras kids came in today, and even though they had these big grins on their faces, they didn't say anything. They were kind of like walking on eggshells. And then Jenny, who is a fan of that other team, I don't know why people do this. She came out in the hallway in the back. She heard my voice and said, was I dreaming last night? That's right. Well, guess what? Anyway, we can be thankful, can't we? Stand with me as I read the scripture. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we approach this time of the year we call Thanksgiving, and it's a great time of the year. And we're reminded of the blessings that you have so richly given us. We sing, count your blessings, and Father, I pray that we do. We heard Linda sing, even in the valley. We remember the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So today, Father, I pray that we'll take solace in your word, that we will hear your spirit speaking to us, and that we will learn and take from this place today those things that you want us to take. And we will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I've learned over the years, it's easy to say things, isn't it? It's easy to say platitudes and things like that because we're expected to say them. And there are a lot of things in this psalm to be thankful for and a lot of things to praise God for. And what the psalmist is saying is, bless the Lord, O my soul. That blessing, that thanksgiving, that praise comes out of the inside of us from an inner relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that can happen. So we praise him for what he's done. We praise him for his mercy. He pardons our iniquities. We praise him because he is the great physician. He heals our diseases. But even more than physically, there it's talking about spiritually. God heals our spiritual sickness. We are sick with sin. And God saves us, and he heals our spiritual iniquity. He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Loving kindness is mercy. Satisfies your years with good things. Your youth is renewed. What I like the best about this is verses 10 through 12. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. I thought about this sermon all week. As a matter of fact, I started thinking about this viewpoint on it in our elders' meeting on Monday night. And while we were discussing things, I was writing notes. I basically was planning part of my sermon on Monday night, even though I thought I'd already had it planned. And bear with me this morning. Sometimes we hear Thanksgiving, and I think there are times when it's really hard to be thankful. You ever found a time in your life when it was really hard to be thankful? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And we're sometimes told and scolded. Sometimes scolded. When we don't appear to be as thankful as we should. What I know today is that there are people in this congregation whose lives are hurt. They're hurting. They're hurting from as deep recesses as they possibly can. They don't know necessarily what's coming. They are burdened beyond belief. And I think sometimes all of us find ourselves in that boat, and sometimes it's hard to be thankful. It just is. Now, I hope you never have this problem, but I do. I go through times in my life when I am anything or I appear to be anything but thankful. Maybe sometimes it's because I take too many things for granted. Sometimes we're told to think about what you have, not about what you don't have. Think about what you have and all the other people who have nothing. I've heard that a lot of times. I've heard people say, well, you know, this is going on in my life, but somebody else has it worse. And they might. But that's not what dominates our thoughts at that time. We live in the present, don't we? And sometimes it's going on in our lives, and I know it's worse over here, but it doesn't seem like it's any worse. I'm not sure I know how to say that exactly. I know it's worse over here, but I'm dealing with it in my life. Or you're dealing with it in your life. And I guess that those kind of platitudes, think what you have in other people who have nothing. And I guess that'd be okay if Thanksgiving or being thankful was based on comparisons. Look what I have and you don't. I'm blessed. And I know we sing the songs, count your blessings, name them one by one. I understand that. And I don't know if you've ever done that in your life, but you need to. We all need to go down through our lives and thank God for what he's doing in our lives. I went through some things this week, and I was just trying to think. And I mean, things are going pretty well in my life, but I'm just trying to think about how to get through some difficult times when they come. And I think about what's happened before in my life. I can remember when I was a little boy, my grandmother, she came down the steps in her house. The kitchen was right there. And I remember going down those steps and watching my grandma. She'd be doing one or two things at the table. She'd either be injecting herself with insulin or she'd be reading her Bible, sometimes both. And sometimes she'd be praying. And I found out later on that, had an uncle and an aunt both tell me, that my grandmother was praying then that some of her grandsons would go into the ministry. I can look back on that and be grateful, can't I? That is a milestone in my life. I can remember when I saw Diane. First time. As a matter of fact, first time she ever saw me, she thought I was really rude. I knew we'd get something out of that. But I remember our first date, I knew that I would marry her. Is that a blessing? That's a phenomenal blessing from God. Sometimes we talk, and she says, I just didn't know you long enough. I think if you might have known me longer, maybe there'd been a different result. But here we are 42 years later, and I think back, I can remember when our children were born. And when... I know that those of you with children understand this, but When Diane went into labor and went to the hospital, and I'm sitting next to her bed, and I'm nervous because I don't know what's going to happen. And I think she's apprehensive. And that little boy was born, and it changed your life. It changes your life. Even though I did not get to hold him for 7 more days, we lived in the dark ages. And because Michael was in, and Diane was in so much labor, her labor was long with Michael, when he came out, they put him in an incubator. Diane was in the hospital. She went in just before Thanksgiving. And I can remember a number of us in family went up to visit her on Thanksgiving Day and kind of laughed at her. Well, we didn't laugh at her. But she was in the hospital 9 days, and Michael was in the hospital 7 days. And when she brought him home and I held him for the first time, my life changed again, and I cried. And it was the same way for the other two children. I just was overwhelmed when they were born. I think back and remember my relationship with my mother. See, I remember these things because I remember what God has done in my life. I look back over my life and see what God's done in my life, because when I'm struggling, I need to remember that God has been at work in my life. I need to remember that he's been at work in my life and he will continue to work in my life. And sometimes, that's what gets us through, isn't it? Sometimes we wake up and we say, I don't feel it today. I just can't do it today. Sometimes we lose people who are close to us. It hurts. And sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we lose stuff. I know people who have lost their homes and their families. We see them every time we go to Better Way. You see them when you go to Stowe Center. People who have lost everything they have for whatever reason. I'm not going to judge the reason, but they're there and they have lost everything they have, and I wonder, how do they get up in the morning and say, thank you, God? But they do. That's the incredible thing. At least most of them do. Sometimes I think we try to guilt people into being thankful. Like you can put on some kind of happy coat and nobody knows. It's amazing for me, and I don't know if you play this game or not, but I have before. And I have a feeling that more of us do than want to admit it. When I first came to be pastor here in the last century, and it was, we lived in Hebron, and we drive back and forth. Sunday school started at 9:30. What time is the pastor supposed to be there? Before 9:30. Sarah was 2 years old. The older kids, Michael was a sophomore in high school. Stacy, when we came, Stacy was in eighth grade. And I'd get ready first. And I'd sit. And I'd sit and start to fidget. Diane, we have to get going. We really have to get going. I'm going to be late. Do you understand what happens when the pastor's late to church? I've got to get out of the house. So I figured out a brand new way to motivate her. I walked out in the driveway, got in a car, and honked the horn. Great motivation, isn't it? And so we'd back out of the driveway, we'd get on the road, and we'd be coming over here, and things were really pleasant in the car when I did that, weren't they? Not so much. But we'd get out here, and we'd turn in this driveway, and all of a sudden, what happened? Got the pastor face on. And when we got to the door, and somebody said, how you doing? How are you? And I'd say, everything's fine. Everything's just great. Was it? No, it wasn't great. And I had to figure out some way to move from there to where I needed to be preaching the sermon that morning. Sometimes I got it, sometimes I didn't. That's quite the admission, isn't it? You see, sometimes the pastor doesn't get it either. I'm just like you are. We're all in the same boat together. We are just human beings, flawed human beings, who are absolutely dependent upon God. and whose joy, whose thankfulness can only come as we submit to God and as we are in a right relationship with Him. And I've got to tell you, it's been true in my life that there have been times when those relationships have gone south. Now, we're in church this morning, right? So nobody wants to admit that. But the fact is, we've all been there. We've been in positions, or most of us have been there, where our lives are just going south. You know, I think that we get the wrong idea about a number of things. That if our lives are right, none of these things will happen. I remember hearing a sermon from a pastor that I just wanted to choke him when we were finished. And it was based on one of the Psalms that says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" You remember that? I think it's Psalm 51. "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" And then went for the rest of the sermon and told people how depression was a sin. Are you kidding me? You want to know how to push people, more people down in depression? You preach that depression is a sin. And I'm going to tell you, when we go through those things, it's hard to be thankful. And I am not ashamed to admit this morning, I take medication. I'm a very mild bipolar kind of guy. It's called cyclothymia. And when I started taking that, things changed. I think God gives us doctors to help us get through times. But I can tell you this, there were times when I'd come to the office, and I'd want to shut the door and not let anybody in. You ever felt that way? And it's hard to be thankful when those things are going on in your life. It's hard to be thankful when your relationship with your wife isn't quite what it needs to be. I'm not ashamed to tell you this morning, Diane and I went to counseling. And it was mostly for me. Because I knew that if things in my life didn't change, our marriage relationship was going to change. And it's hard to be thankful when you're struggling in your marriage, isn't it? It just is. And so what happens when we grow up, or we get up rather, grow up, when we get up and we're just not feeling it today? You ever been there? I mean, really. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death and you don't think that God is anywhere near you. You just don't. Your kids get sick. Your parents pass. Your best friends that you thought your best friends turn their back and walk away. How do you get through that stuff? It is really tough. And if any of us were honest with ourselves, we've been there, done that, played that game. Be thankful, they say. Rejoice, they say. Let me ask, do you and I always feel thankful? And I'm not sure we do, because life hurts. Real life hurts. And sometimes I think the place that we want to hide that the most is in the place we need to share it the most. And that's with God's people. Because the people who care about us the most are God's people. The people that can help us get through difficult things are God's people. I can tell you there have been times in my life when, several years ago, when two people got me through things. I can tell you now that God has brought other people who have helped me walk through things. And without them, I wouldn't have made it. I just would not have made it. Because I needed someone like Moses needed Aaron and Hur to lift up my arms when things got tough. Now, I don't want this to be a downer, even though it seems like it is to me. I just want us to know we're in this thing together. And there is hope. There is light. We can get there. Paul had a difficult time. In Romans chapter 7, Paul said, "The things I want to do, I can't. The things I don't want to do are the very things I find myself doing." Does that sound like Super Paul? No, it sounds like a man in need of God. A man who needs to open his life and let God do in his life. But then right after that, one of the best verses in the scripture is located, and we see it as Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." What a great verse. And we need to realize that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. I read this comment from a guy this week as I was reading for the sermon. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And he said when he read that going through a difficult time, he just wanted to scream back at the scripture and said, are you kidding? You ever gotten mad at God? Just ask, have you ever gotten mad at God? It's okay. Let me tell you, it's okay to be mad at God. It is okay to scream at God as long as you come to the conclusion that he's still in control. That he still loves us. That he still cares for us more than anybody else. Rejoice always, yeah, right. You see, we know what we should do. And we want to do what we should do. Sometimes we just don't feel it. Now, I am thankful this morning. I kept messing up. Diane had me upstairs in the kitchen last night helping her do some things. And I kept saying, you know, you're working my fingers to the bone. You're killing me here, Diane. You know what I was doing? I was adding stuff here and adding stuff there, putting it in the microwave, stirring it up. That's what I was doing. You're killing me, Diane. But you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that I could be in the kitchen last night with my wife. I'm thankful that I could complain about all that stuff. And I wasn't really complaining. I was just messing around. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my wife will listen to me and then make fun of me. And she does, and does a great job of it. Tom, do this. No, that's not the way you should do it. You need to do it like this. You ever heard that? Men? Have you ever heard that? I said, Diane, why don't you tell me it's a good job? She said, because if I tell you it's a good job, you'll never get any better at it. Women, if you've ever thought that, raise your hand. She said, I learned that from my dad. And her dad would say things like that, and Diane's mom would say, why don't you ever tell them that they did a good job? And he would say, because I want them to learn to do it better. We can be thankful for those kind of situations in our lives, right? I'm thankful for the people who are out in the kitchen right now preparing dinner so that we can go out there and eat later. They're out there, and many of you don't know who they are. But I can tell you they're out there and doing what it takes so that we can eat together later on. I kind of need that, don't I? But we can be thankful for stuff. And one of the things that I've learned is I need to look back. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, and I think that's a good idea, and I think he's absolutely right, if we're being controlled by the past. We need to put that behind us. But there's some things. Anybody ever watch? I know this is a sport, Tori, so it's not like soccer. You ever watch rowing in the Olympics? Or any play? Ever seen that? They got this little boat, and they've got 5, 6, I don't know how many people rowing it. Sometimes they have 2. Where are they looking? Where are they looking? They're looking backwards, aren't they? They can't see this way. But there's a person in the back of the boat who is giving them instruction and saying, this is the way we need to go. And just sometimes we need to look back and remember, we still have that person in the back of the boat saying, this is where we're going. And we need to trust that person to get us where we're going. Who's the person in the back of the boat? Jesus. Jesus gets us through those things. Jesus helps us to learn how to praise him and thank him in the midst of all the stuff. We can learn to be thankful when we're not feeling it. And we can learn to be thankful in spite of the circumstances. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want us to understand how we can make it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Pay special attention to this section, would you please? And those words that jump out of you, circle them or underline. It's okay to write in your Bible, guys. It really is. As a matter of fact, I think it's okay to use your Bible so much that the pages start falling out. Just a thought. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I want to read that again. Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also is our comfort. So also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also hope. What's Paul say? What's he say? No situation is without value. Nothing we face in life just happens. And God wants us to use those situations. We've all been in situations, really tough situations, haven't we? And God has brought us through. That's the amazing thing. God brings us through. But we look around and we find some other people going through the same struggles. And God has gotten us through our situation. Why? So we can help them. God puts us together as a family. God puts us together as a church to let us know that we can get through it. And he's put people in our lives to help us get through. Find somebody. Find somebody that can help you get through whatever it is you're going through. Find someone you can trust. Find someone who will pray for you. Find someone who will confront you when you're wrong. Find someone who will help you become the best you can in Jesus and trust them. That's the only way we can make it. We need each other. We're not in this alone. There are no solo Christians who get through life successfully. When our kids were small, we used to have these little albums. They were Sandy Patty and some other friends, and I can't even think of the name of this one character, but they sang this song, "We're in this thing together. We're in this thing together. Jesus and me. We're in this thing together." And not only are we together, Jesus and me, it's Jesus in me, and Jesus in you, and Jesus in us. And that's how we get through. It's the only way that I know to get through. Find someone. Remember what God's done in your past. Be thankful. Take a look at what he's done. I have no idea why I did this. I went to church once in a while when I was a kid growing up. Went to Sunday school, but when I was 11 years old, I still think I have this Bible somewhere. I ask for a Bible. I have no idea why I ask for it. I have it in front of it. I have my name, December 25th, 1962. Now, I know some of you aren't that old, but there was a 1962, trust me. But I still have that Bible. And I believe that Bible, even though it was largely ignored, had a part to do with my salvation. I believe God began to draw me to himself. I remember watching a Billy Graham crusade on television when I was 16 years old and thinking, I know this is what I need to do, but I didn't. And then I remember other people telling me that I need a relationship with the Lord. See, we need each other. God uses each one of us in each other's lives. And that's how we can be thankful. Be thankful for the person who loves you. Be thankful for the person who comes up beside you. Be thankful at what God's done in your life. And then be thankful for anticipating what he's going to do in your life. know something else? When we think we can't get through, remember the cross. Remember the cross. Remember the sacrifice that was made there for you. Remember the Savior who came and lived a life for us and gave His life for us and shed His blood for us so that we could have eternal life through faith in Him. When you're really having a tough time struggling or getting through life, remember the cross, remember the sacrifice, remember the Savior. Because during those times, I think it's almost impossible for those who have been born again to not be thankful. I'm always convinced that when things get tough and you don't think you can get by, that remembering what happened there can get us through. But following that, you know, the psalmist wrote, "At the cross where I first saw the light." The hymn writer, rather. And then another hymn writer said, "I serve a risen Savior." He's alive. And because He's alive, there is hope. And because there is hope, we can be thankful. And nothing can stall that thanksgiving forever when we place our faith in Him. It gets tough. It does get tough sometimes. And you all know that. But I can tell you, based on personal experience, that it's possible to be thankful in spite of all the stuff. Let me close with this scripture this morning. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 15. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." I don't know why it was I couldn't sleep last night. I have an idea what kept me from going to sleep, but I don't know what kept me awake all night. Every time I woke up, I was singing a song. Every single time. And maybe because it was going to be what we sang this morning, "Count Your Blessings." Count your blessings. Every 5 minutes, from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, I was awake. Count your blessings. I think there's a message from God in there somewhere. Be thankful. Learn to praise. And sometimes, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Does that say we need each other? With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing can do something for us that words can never do. I don't know why that is, but singing can reach part of us that words can never get to. Singing can, or music can reach the very soul of who we are, and you know that. Now, maybe some of you who don't know music or don't like music very much need to still learn that. But I can tell you, music does things for me that very little else does, because I can voice what it is I want to say. How great Thou art. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, how great Thou art. He keeps me singing. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. All. And when I sing those songs, I'm reminded of what God's done in my life. And I'm reminded of the blessings that I have. And I'm reminded again that every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights. everything. And it helps me to learn not to be so in focused, but to be focused out here, up there. Our God is a what? Awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He rules. He reigns from heaven above. We need each other. Teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with what? Thankfulness. Singing with thankfulness. That's why I love the hymns. I love the hymns. I love praise and worship music. I do. Some, even though somebody's called them 7-Eleven songs. You know what a 7-Eleven song is? It's got seven words you sing 11 times. But most of the praise songs I'm aware of are based on Scripture. Words coming straight out of the Psalms and straight out of the Bible. When you begin to sing to God, the result will be singing with thankfulness, praising Him for who He is and what He's done. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him through the Father. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You how it speaks to us. We thank You that even through the tough stuff, even through those times in our lives when we don't want to, that we can still trust You. We can still see who You are. I thank You that You bring other people around us to help us get through difficult times. And Father, I pray that You'd give us the courage.